Welcome to NatureBacked, a talk show about the green economy. My name is Tarmo Virki, and today my guest is Rod Matthews from Brevian Energy. We will be speaking about microgrids. Hi, Rod. Welcome to NatureBacked.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you having me on your show today.
Tell me, in a few words, what do you exactly do?
Well, I have a company that we founded called Brevian Energy. And we are a microgrid solution provider for commercial clients. And what that is, really, we combine various generation technologies like solar, advanced battery systems, hydrogen fuel cells, wind turbines, geothermal. And we take a mixture of all of those, or some of those components, put them together with advanced control systems, and we generate power through all these renewable sources for our clients, be that individual company or a property or a community, or in a lot of cases, we're looking at utility scale projects to do that with.
Okay. In a few words, what's the kind of location? You across US in some certain state, becoming global?
Right now, we are in San Diego, California right now. And unfortunately here for San Diego, we have the highest utility rates in the entire United States. So our electric costs are, phenomenal. Number one, we have what's called time of use. We don't get charged a flat rate. We get charged a variable rate depending on the time that we use it. And that time from like 4 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m., which is the time where everybody's home, everybody's watching TV, everybody's cooking and doing laundry, you're paying maybe five times more than you'd be paying in the daytime for your power. Yeah. So we're looking at ways to help make power much more affordable for people, much more resilient, because you are generating it yourself. So you're not relying on the grid. So when the grid goes down, a lot of times you don't even know about it. And for us, one of the key things is to make it much more responsible, meaning we are reducing those greenhouse gas emissions. So that's really important to what we do.
Absolutely. And I think microgrids in general are having that impact, mostly using solar and other kind of renewable energy sources anyway.
Absolutely.
So the impact is significant. I think looking kind of beyond San Diego, probably a lot of listeners are struggling with the similar challenges that the power prices are really, really high, and the kind of timing of the consumption is linked to directly to the price.
Absolutely.
I think we're having similar problems across Europe, and I'm sure there are other parts in the US also. What's for a microgrid? I mean, if I have a small house, that's probably not the first thing I would be thinking of. Is it more for the commercial clients, for the corporations?
Well, we only focus on commercial clients, but for residential users, it makes a lot of sense as well. We have right now in California, we have what's called net energy metering, where there's an agreement with the local utilities that if you have solar, you produce solar, and you're not using it, all the excess solar, you sell it back to the utility company at about 85% of what the retail rate would be. So that's net energy metering 2.0. They just changed it to net energy metering 3.0, where now you get paid, mere pennies on a dollar. You're selling it back to them at wholesale rate. They're selling it to you at retail, and you're selling it back to them at wholesale rates.
That's crazy.
So they have really disincentivized it. So now, instead of you looking to get credits for your excess power, we say all that excess power, you bank that into a battery. And you have a system that has the intelligence to do what's called peak shaving. So at that time of 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m., when your rate is the highest, you can have the ability to shift your load to your battery systems, so you're not pulling from the grid at those high times, saving you a ton of money.
Similar situation in the Northern Europe means that from roughly that time when people come to home, the biggest energy use is probably sauna, but that's not probably in San Diego so big deal, right?
No, not really. I was just air conditioning. It gets pretty hot here, you know,
true,
in some
true.
of our locations. And so, yeah, AC, and then in those winter months, you know, heating and, you know, heating. So heating and cooling are really our two major, you know, consumptions because of the climate that we have here.
I assume that most of your kind of installations are firstly solar, but how much of the other technologies you are having
like
installed
I say,
already today?
Right now, primarily we're doing solar and advanced battery systems and advanced control systems, but we're doing projects that include the hydrogen fuel cells that for projects that require base load power, because there's a natural gas component to the hydrogen fuel cell products that we deliver. It does, however, still reduce the amount of greenhouse gases by at least 50% and going in that way, but there is still some component of that.
Of course.
But there's that resiliency factor because the natural gas infrastructure is all underground, so it's not susceptible to weather and, you know, all those kind of problems. You know, in times where people have loss of electricity, they never have loss of natural gas per se. So because it relies on that, it's much more resilient, and we can offer that as true base load power as opposed to the, you know, the somewhat sporadic nature of like wind or even the sunshine.
Resilience and microgrids are something which kind of go hand in hand for
absolutely,
because the kind of the security of the big power systems and the big power lines is
absolutely
a big issue around the world, especially in Europe these days.
Absolutely. And we do see that as a national security issue. Number one, you know, we see the decentralization of the grid as a way to get that security. So you're not relying on, you know, one big source of power generation that can be taken out. You know, we saw that here in San Diego about 5 or 6 years ago, I believe. There was an event, a guy changing out a fuse in Arizona, and, you know, didn't follow the proper procedures, shorted something out. Luckily, he didn't kill himself, but he shorted out power. He shut down power for all of Southern California for about 7 hours, to include cell phone towers, everything,
one
TV,
fuse.
Everything. One guy.
Wow.
So all of Southern California for about 7 hours.
I would have thought that the kind of most likely scenarios of the kind of the big grid energy production risks are related to maybe cyber attacks and or things like that. But no, no one fuse.
A fuse change.
Wow. I mean, the human factor.
That guy was
always
so lucky. Yeah. He's that guy was so lucky he didn't kill himself.
What about the kind of, you know, the company size today? How big are you guys?
Well, right now we have 6 full-time employees, and we have a number of outsourced 1099 employees. Our installation crew, they are, you know, 1099 for us. Well, 1099 being they are like contract employees. They're not full
on the payroll
employees of the company.
Yeah.
So that allows us to be nimble and really scale. And then we have an association with an organization that allows us to perform installations really anywhere in the country. We can scale through that. So, you know, we're looking to grow our products have been well received in the market. I think by us kind of branding ourselves as the microgrid specialist as opposed to just solar people, I think gives us really a leg up because we have a more compelling story to tell. So we see growth really in our future.
How about kind of microgrids in general? Is this a trend you're seeing in California or?
Worldwide, not just, you know, here in California. California here in America really leads the way in almost everything, right? As California goes, so goes the United States in most cases, because we're really 10% of our gross domestic product is really generated here in the state of California. Consumer trends tend to go in our direction.
If California is setting the trend for the rest of the U.S., How much do you see that trend already kind of sticking to them? Do you see the, I don't know, request coming from out of state, or do you see a lot of boom
Oh,
in other
absolutely.
states?
Absolutely. We were just at a conference a couple of weeks ago, and they were really kind of talking about the best states to do power purchase agreements for power. Meaning power purchase agreement means the customer doesn't really have to pay any money up front. They just make an agreement to purchase power for you from you for about 20 to 25 years. For them, it's really no different than their local utility, because at the end of the day, they just want to, flip a switch on the wall and a light comes on. They don't really care how it happens. They don't really care about the whole electron process or anything. They care about the electrons. They don't care if it's green, blue, white, or purple. But when they turn on that light and it comes on, and then at the end of the month, they get a bill that's like a third to 50% less than what they were getting before. I mean, everybody's happy in that regard.
Exactly. What I wanted to ask, the typical commercial client, what kind of companies they are? Are they big factories, or are they
Well,
more like
it
stores, or?
varies. It varies here in San Diego. We don't have a lot of big Fortune 500 companies. Just up the street in, Orange County and in Los Angeles, you have some more Fortune 500 type companies. But here in San Diego, we have a lot of, small to medium-sized businesses. So we have a lot of business parks. We have a lot of warehouses. In these business parks, they have, big buildings with multiple tenants. Or, they may have, a couple of companies in each of these kind of business parks. So those are the kind of areas that we're targeting, those business parks and those warehouses. One, if you have operations that, go around the clock and you operate during that 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. period, we've already discussed how costly that could be. So to be able to just save them from that aspect, to do what's called peak shaving. And there's one more component to the electric bill here that most people really don't really understand. It's called a demand charge. So not only are you charged for the power that you're used, but that you use or consume at, those variable rates depending on what time of day, but you're also charged for the most amount of power that's made available for you to consume in that month. So that's they break it down in 15-minute period. They call it intervals. So your highest interval at that month, you get a charge associated with that. So let's say you're only home 2 days a week, but those 2 days a week, you are home between 4 o'clock and 9 o'clock p.m. and you turn on everything. You play guitar, you turn on all your amplifiers, and you turn on all eight TVs and your washer, your dryer, and all that, all at the same time. But you have a neighbor who they're an older couple. They go to bed about 5 o'clock every day. They barely watch TV, but they're home every day. During the daytime, they're all watching their TV and all that. You're only home 2 days a week between 4 and 9. When you get your bill at the end of the month, it's probably twice what they pay, just because of the variables that we talked about. Because you turn on all of your stuff when you come home, so that demand, the power that's made available to you, there's that demand component that we talked about. But also, you're consuming your power at the highest time of the day between 4 o'clock and 9 o'clock p.m. But we can build a microgrid that allows you to generate your own power and not even have to worry about those times or days you consume it, or you can support your own loads. You don't have to pull those high loads from the grid, saving you about 30, a third to 50% of your current bill.
Yeah, the only challenge is that you're focused on commercial clients. If that dude who's at home only 2 days a week is not a company, then it's a bit of a challenge for you guys to serve, right?
Man, for us, yes, because that's not the market we focus on, but there are absolutely solutions out there for those home users as well
Of
that are
course.
similar in nature. But I've always been a business to business kind of guy. This is my I'm a serial entrepreneur. But in all of, I've never had a business to consumer company because I really don't really care for that model
It's a bit
personally.
more risky, I would say.
It's more risky. It's a lot more difficult to penetrate. It's a lot more marketing efforts you have to pursue. I like to have I can be laser focused with my you know, commercial clients. I know exactly who I'm going after. I can target them. And I'm not depending on, you know, the latest whim to come along and just kill my product for the rest of my life.
Yeah, exactly. So to say, yeah. The as you said, you're a serial entrepreneur. What have you been building before?
I have a technology background, so I have managed a service provider company for IT services. Okay. Again, for commercial clients. You know, we didn't repair computers for like home users, but
yes, of course.
So, you know, a couple of iterations of that, one in partnership and then one as a you know, solo entrepreneur. Started a managed services company, which is still in operation today, as a matter of fact.
Very cool. And how are you able to kind of take those learnings from the IT services sector into the utility or the microgrid production?
I mean, I think it's great because I, you know, for me, I see everything as a service. And that's what we did as IT. We provided it as a service to our client base. So just in that alone, understanding the service delivery kind of framework, understanding the scope that's associated with it, understanding that you act as, you know, not only a provider, but a consultant as well to help your clients get the maximum use out of whatever service you give them, you maximize that. So just understanding that, I think has really helped transition those philosophies and, you know, and our kind of business acumen transfer down to helping this grow and be successful as well.
Absolutely. Good. Thank you, Rod, for your time this evening in this part of the world, morning in your part of the world.
Yes.
And good luck in the microgrid revolution.
Hey, I really appreciate it. And I look forward to coming to Estonia one day and deploying some microgrids over there as well.
Good stuff. Thank you so much. You're more than welcome here.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful day.
Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage, behind the scenes of show business spanning over four decades and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for the Candle Power Hour.
Introducing the Deep Leadership Podcast. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former submarine officer who spent 22 years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters.
Leadership matters.
Deep Leadership is real-world, actionable leadership advice from John and his expert guests. Become a leader worth following. Subscribe today.
Electric Acid.